The world's people in general are meat eaters, and much of the world's meat is still being produced in sort of traditional ways with a lot of individualized human care and a lot of knowledge of local conditions and animal husbandry that's been learned over the generations. But in the Western world, especially in the United States, there's been a sort of industrialization of the whole process that really started mid-20th century and continued at a very rapid clip. And it's, you know, so by sort of the beginning of the 21st century, we had really sort of completely industrialized the way we produced animal-based foods. And so we're talking about animals that are in very crowded conditions. Most of them, whether in pigs and dairy cows and chickens and turkeys, are continuously confined in generally in metal buildings. They're never outdoors. They're never having an opportunity to exercise or, you know, spread their wings or fly or do any of the things that animals would naturally do in nature. And so this has had enormous consequences, both for the welfare of the animals, obviously, but also for food safety issues. There are many different diseases that have been shown to be much more prevalent today, that have become more virulent because of rapid evolution and rapid transmission that happens in these very crowded conditions. And it's caused huge environmental problems for water and for air and for soils. And so I began working on all of this as an environmental lawyer for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. in the year 2000. And became kind of an expert on it because I worked on it full time for him from the environmental perspective. But I did not really understand the ranching and farming side until marrying Bill Nyman in 2003, who I met through that work. And Bill Nyman is the founder of a network of farms and ranches that are all using traditional practices. And so then I got very involved with the ranching and farming side myself, and I've been doing that now for the last 12 years.
It's interesting you mentioned Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and you working with him. He'll actually be in Boulder next Thursday for the Waterkeepers National Conference that's happening. And one of the areas of concern with water use is beef production. Now, the title of your book is Defending Beef, the Case for Sustainable Meat Production. There has been a lot of criticism on the beef industry for the amount of water that is used, whether it is in the production of hay and fodder to feed the cattle, and then, of course, then the impact on the land. So what are your thoughts on that, particularly, as I said, the title of your book is Defending Beef?
Yeah, well, I was the senior attorney for Waterkeeper Alliance, the group that you referred to, and I worked primarily on water issues. So I really do consider that my main, you know, sort of my primary area of expertise. In the book Defending Beef, I have a whole chapter where I specifically talk about water issues, both the quality and the quantity, you know, sort of what how practices can affect whether water gets contaminated and also how it affects how much of it there is, you know, whether or, you know, if it's being depleted or not. And there are a few really important points. When you're talking about the alfalfa, for example, the vast majority of alfalfa is being raised actually for the dairy industry. So I'm a supporter of the dairy industry as well. I'm not strictly defending beef, but I do think it's important to make sure the facts are known. And the vast majority of the alfalfa in California, for example, is going to dairy cattle, not beef cattle. Secondly, when grazing is done right, when beef production is done well, there are many aspects of it that actually make it quite a water-friendly agricultural practice. Most importantly, good grazing actually makes the soil much more water retentive. So if you have a dense vegetative cover and you have a very active soil biology below the ground, as you do in well-managed grazing areas, you will actually retain a lot more water in that soil, which benefits all the soil life, all the vegetation that grows there, and all of the animals that live in it and depend on it, whether you're talking about rabbits or insects or deer or cattle, you know, so whether domesticated or wild. So that's a very important aspect of this question, I think, has been overlooked. Additionally, most grazing animals actually get the majority of their moisture from the grasses. They're not actually depleting groundwater or surface water, as people tend to believe. Research in Australia showed that cattle get between 70 to 90% of their moisture from the grass. And University of California at Davis did research a few years ago that actually very specifically quantified how much water was used to produce a typical pound of beef in the United States today, and found that it was actually only slightly more than what is used to produce a pound of rice. So that says that it's not nearly as great an outlier as people tend to think. Grass-based, totally grass-based beef production is even more friendly to water from a water consumption standpoint because of what I was talking about before, because it's getting the water entirely, you know, for the entire life of the animal, it's getting its majority of its water from the forages, but also because all of the water that is going through the body of the animal and coming out in urine and manure is being returned to the soil and therefore to the ecosystem. So it's been calculated that the total amount of water used in a typical pound of grass-fed beef is about one-third as much as what's in a typical pound of conventional beef. So that means that a grass-fed beef, pound of grass-fed beef, would be substantially lower than a pound of rice.
Nicolette Hahn Nyman is the author of a new book, Defending Beef, The Case for Sustainable Meat Production. And she's in Denver presenting at the 2015 Slow Meat Symposium, which is happening through June 5th. Thank you very much for taking time to talk to us today.
It was my pleasure.